to top three. Titus chapter 3. Verse 1, Paul again writing to Titus, the young preacher. Really, we ought to go back to verse 15 of chapter 2. We covered that last week, or the week before last. It says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now, in these verses, you have, if you were going to title this, it would be how to maintain a Christian testimony in a pagan world. How to maintain a Christian testimony in a pagan world. These instructions are intended to remind us how we're to live in a world and a world system that is diametrically opposed to God and contrary to the things of God. Now, this may be said of really all nations, but because I live in America, I'm going to deal specifically with our nation. Whether you believe it or like it or not, we are in a post-Christian America. We are in a pagan nation now. There is more paganism and heathen culture in our country than any time in my life. And present-day America is not the country that she once was. Gone are moral lessons taught from the Bible in our schools. There was a time when people actually applied Bible stories in their teaching at school. Today you've got the all-out promotion of premarital sex. Not just premarital sex and fornication, but also homosexuality. I mean, these things are not being taught as something that are just to be tolerated. They're being pushed on people. Gone are the statesmen who spoke the truth, who were concerned for the people that they were elected to represent. Today, in large part, we've got corrupt politicians who are chiefly concerned with making money, with raising money, with getting reelected. I mean, you look at some of these men and women, they go to the Senate, they go to Congress, and they may go there and not be worth more than $500,000. By the time they get out, you know, they're worth millions upon millions of dollars. How do they do that on a salary of $150,000 a year, whatever it is? They don't. I mean, there's a lot of corruption in our nation. Again, illustrating the paganism that we face, Gone is the respect for human life. Today, it's legal to kill children in the womb just before birth. That's horrifying. To think that we live in a country where it is legal to exterminate a child for pretty much any reason. Gone are the absolute standards for right and wrong as set forth in the Scriptures. Today, most people operate according to the religion of secular humanism, where moral relativism is the dominating force. In other words, if it feels good, do it. If it suits you, do it. Do what makes you feel good. I'm telling you something, folks. You know where we're heading? We're heading for a time when child molesters are going to be able to do what makes them feel good under the guise that that's what's right for them. This is what happens when you abandon absolute truth, biblical truth, moral truth, and moral standards. Gone are the traditional ideals of marriage in the home. This is pagan America. I mean, it seems like I've said this before, and I know it sounds humorous, but it's almost like the only people wanting to get married now are homosexuals. And that's sad. Marriage is between a man and a woman. For as long as they both shall live, they enter into that covenant. They make a commitment to love one another, to cherish one another. And then, hopefully, when they have children, they will train them and teach them moral lessons, biblical lessons. But sad to say, in pagan America, these things of morality, biblical truth, are not being taught. We are in the midst of a definite moral crisis. And I remember the first time I heard somebody say, living in a post-Christian era, it was Jeff Short. And I thought, what's he talking about? Huh? We're supposed to be a Christian nation. And I wish we were. But the reality is, we're not. Otherwise, you wouldn't have so many children either being exterminated since 1973. You wouldn't have child pornography running wild in our nation. Drug abuse. Why in the world do you think there is so much drug abuse? There's a lot of contributing factors, but I'll tell you what it really boils down to is people think they can do whatever they blessed well please. It's a form of idolatry. I know what happens when drugs get a hold of you. That's all you care about is you. That's a pagan country. When that ideal is set forth. Now, in light of all this, how do you and I, how are we going to make a way? How are we going to be a light? How are we going to have an influence? How can we have a positive effect upon our nation, upon our culture? Well, in light of everything that I've said thus far, it is absolutely essential that you and I understand what our role is in a pagan society. Now you say, preacher, how does what he wrote 2,000 years ago apply to us? I made this statement today at Big Creek when I preached there. When Paul wrote this letter to Titus, it was during the reign of the Roman Empire, which was characterized by extreme idolatry and pagan superstitions. God did not call upon the Christians then, nor does He call upon us today to be hostile in our attitudes and actions toward unbelievers. I hate drug abuse. I hate the abortion industry. I hate the homosexual agenda, but I don't hate those people. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to see them saved. We need to have a message. We need to take it to where they are, praying that God will save them. Listen, our country is never going to legislate biblical morality. There is not going to be a theocracy here until Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Until then, we have to be salt and light if we're going to have an influence. And I believe that only God can change people's hearts. As we observe the escalation of immorality and ungodliness within society, we have to be careful that we don't lose sight of what our mission really is. I'm preaching to me. I get really irritated. I get stirred up when I see what's happening. And part of me just wants to lash out. And that's not right. It's not biblical. I have got to maintain a biblical composure. You got to be able to reach people. And you can't do that by just yelling at them. You got to tell them that there's only one way of salvation, one hope for poor sinners. And let me tell you something. In this pagan world, that message is going to be mocked. You will be derided. You'll probably be shouted down if you're in a public square. But this is the message that penetrates hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we're more concerned about, it's this testimony of being a light in a sin-darkened world. How do people view your testimony? Do people know that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that you actually read God's Word? Does it show up in the way you talk to people? In the way you act out in front of people? Do people know that they can come to you when they've got a problem and they need prayer? One way you know whether or not you are making some kind of influence is you'll find people that you work with, people out in the community, when they got a problem, no matter how pagan they may be, they may come to you and say, "Hey, would you pray for my daughter? Would you pray for my family?" We got to have that kind of testimony in this pagan world. Again, a testimony of righteousness, love, and compassion maintained by God's people that will have a lasting impact upon our pagan world. And folks, you know what churches are doing? They're adopting the pagan world. They're actually bringing it into their church. Thinking if everything goes in this old world, I read an article today that there is a Methodist woman pastor. There's a lot of things that's really wrong with all those statements. All right? But she is now on a mission to promote pro-abortion teaching in her church and among other liberal churches. Now, folks, there's something really wrong with that in this culture in which we live. You and I have to be light in a sin-darkened world. The days in which we live are not unlike the day and age in which Paul wrote this letter to Titus. There's a lot of darkness, depravity, ungodliness. We have to make a difference. But when we're more concerned about changing the political and cultural environment than we are with preaching the gospel to the lost, we have a tendency to view unbelievers as the enemy rather than the mission field. Huge difference there. Now, again, I'm strongly opposed to the teaching of secular humanism, the immorality of homosexual activists, the views of abortionists. But as a Christian, I am not called upon to exhibit an attitude of hatred and bitterness toward them because of the negative influence that they're having on our society. They're our mission field. They're the very people that if things are going to change, they're the ones that have to change by the power of God. You don't want our nation overrun by the Islamic teaching? Preach the gospel to them. That's the only thing that will break the bondage of that pagan religion, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm to exhibit a testimony that demonstrates the power of a changed life through faith in the gospel. I'm not to spend all my time and energy seeking to bring about superficial outward change in government or society. Now, with that said, do we have no part in the political process? That would be just, we would be dilatory. If we did not promote a set of values that measure up to the biblical truth. So yes, be involved, especially in a nation where we have the liberty that we do right now, that we're fast losing. I mean, do you realize that in Canada and some places, you can't quote scriptures that expose the sin of homosexuality? They call it a hate crime. That's on our continent. You know, North America? That's coming. There are people all over our country who think that if they label something hate speech, that they can shut you down. Now, does this sound like hate speech? You're a sinner, condemned by the law under the wrath of God. And if you don't repent and trust in Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, if you don't believe that He died for your sins and was buried and rose again, you're going to die and spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Now, you and I think, wow, that was great, preacher. That's good preaching. That's so true. But you know what? The pagan world would say, "What? Hey, wait. You're judging people. You're saying that people are going to die in their sins." I'm not judging them. The Word of God is, which is the final authority and should be for everybody. But again, what's the underlying desire of the new paganism? Let's get rid of the Word of God. Let's get rid of Christianity. I'm sure that they can throw something on there with white supremacy. You know, throw that in there against Christianity. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Think about this. When people say that Christians are anti-Semitic, we follow a Jew. We're saved by the work of Jesus Christ, who was a Jew. He was born in the line of Judaism. That's our Savior. That's our King. Certainly we're not anti-Semitic at all. But you tell people, hey, there's only one way. And you say it with authority. Oh, hey, that's hate speech. No, that's love speech. Just because somebody tells you something that goes against what you may believe or think doesn't mean that they hate you. But that's what our culture is starting to be programmed. And you better be aware of it. This is what we're facing. A culture of paganism that is hostile to God. So I'm to set forth. I would love for our nation to be a Christian nation. I would love it. If there was a moral ethic. I'm not saying everybody being saved, because I know that's not feasible. Not everybody's going to be saved. I realize that. I'm not naive. But there have been times in our history where there was at least a biblical, a Christian ethic, if you will, where people were actually honest. Where people saw the marriage covenant as something that was holy and sacred. And they honored it. Men didn't cheat on their wives. Wives didn't cheat on their husbands. Kids were not exploited. But we don't live in those days anymore. In fact, we're living in the last days, where men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters, disobedient to parents, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So how are we going to have any impact? How are we going to make a change? We have to set forth an example of humility, compassion, and concern. Look over at Philippians chapter 2. This is what we're called to do in a pagan world. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Remember that sermon I preached on this about 5 years ago? What the world needs right now. This is what the world needs right now. This is what our pagan world needs. People who act like they're the children of God, who live in such a way that they're without rebuke, meaning they don't commit all the evil. They actually live a life that shows they've been saved by the grace of God. And it comes out in their attitudes, in their actions, in their speech, in their way of life. And as such, they become lights to a sin-darkened world. True believers must faithfully point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ, praying that God would make the message of the gospel effectual through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when a genuine inward change has been wrought in the heart of an individual through the sovereign grace of God, it will have a far greater impact than any attempt to outwardly reform pagan society. This is why this is so important. Let's say the guy that you want to be the president or the senator or the representative, he gets elected. All right? He makes some changes. Well, 4 years, 8 years may go by. That guy may get voted out of office. The next guy comes in, goes completely contrary to what the other guy did. What's the problem? It's all superficial change. The gospel provides real change, powerful change. I'm convinced if you study the history of the United States, even before their founding, it was a spirit of awakening in the 1700s that led to the revolution and liberty. I really believe that. Look at the history. I mean, there was a great awakening during the days of Jonathan Edwards and others in the United States. People's hearts were being changed. And ultimately, they decided we're not going to live under British tyranny any longer. Now, you say, how does this line up with this obeying magistrate? Well, I can't tell it all to you tonight. We're going to have to wait till next week to do that. So I hope you come. Because Paul gives specific directions as to how Christians are to behave themselves in order to maintain a God-honoring testimony in a godless world. Now, we're going to get on to the first three verses next week. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, these are hard for me to obey. They are. I mean, there's times I get really upset with things that Nancy Pelosi says. Why should I let that bother me? God's sovereign. He's in control of everything. So I need these verses to work in my heart just like you do. So hopefully we'll all learn together how to maintain a Christian testimony in a pagan world. Let's all stand.